We're continuing a sermon series on the words of Jesus from the cross. As Jesus died on the cross, he said only a few very short things, but they are all very profound. And we are transitioning, and the most important thing that's ever happened is that the death and resurrection of Jesus is the most important thing that has ever happened, ever will happen in all of history and all of future. Nothing's more important than this. And so what Jesus says on the cross becomes profoundly important. And today we're looking at a conversation he had with one of the people who was dying with him. Jesus was crucified between two people, two criminals, two thieves that were being crucified, killed for their crimes. And one of them mocked Jesus a bit. He was saying, if you really are the Son of God, if you really are as powerful as they say you are, then save yourself and save us. And the other person on his other side said, don't you know who you're talking to? Don't you understand who you are talking to right now? And he said to Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? And Jesus says these very powerful words, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This becomes a really profound thing, especially for those that were raised in Judaism, those standing around that had followed Jesus but had understood God from this legal idea of the Old Testament. Jesus is doing something really different here. See, in the Old Testament, everything was about the law and the rituals and the procedures. And God had done this. He had given this to a nomadic people. The law of Moses was given to a group of people coming out of slavery in Egypt, wandering in the desert for 40 years. God gave them laws and procedures and rituals. And it didn't take too long until people took that and made a mess of it. The Pharisees, the religious leaders that had emerged over the generations, they had taken that law and pretty much dismissed God and had made the law about their enforcement of it. In fact, they had a procedure called boxing in the law. And so they took each one of the laws that God had given the people to order their daily life, and they had made up their own law to make it even more strict so that nobody would break God's law, to protect God's law in a sense. And so on certain holy days, people were not supposed to work. It was supposed to be a time of rest and recuperation from labor. And so God had given certain laws to not travel so much on a particular day, walking a certain distance. I'm just going to make up some numbers here, but let's say, for instance, God said, don't walk more than 2 kilometers on this particular holy day. Well, then they would say, well, we're not going to let people walk more than 1 kilometer on this holy day. They would make it even more strict so that people wouldn't come near breaking God's law. Well, that may make some logical sense, but you know what that does? It eliminates God. It just takes the directions God gave us and makes it about us and our enforcement and our legalization of the rules. And it dismisses the whole relationship with God. God had given people these things in order to build relationship with God and one another and order their life together as they were these nomadic people coming out of slavery. God was giving them opportunities to become civilization and learn how to be in relationship with God and one another. Well, as the time had gone on, when they messed this up and they made it about this nothing but legalism, Jesus says to this guy who has done all kinds of bad stuff in his life, who has not followed the laws, in fact, he's broke the laws to the point he's been sentenced to death. And essentially at the last moments of his life, he asked Jesus for mercy, and that mercy is given. He's done nothing to earn this. He's done nothing to make his case of, I'm a good person, look at all the good things I've done, Look at why I deserve mercy. He has none of that. And apparently he knows it because he doesn't make a case. He just says, would you remember me? When you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? And Jesus shows him mercy. Jesus says to him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Can you imagine what this guy's feeling at this point? As he's literally being tortured to death. Crucifixion is one of the most horrific ways, just one of the most horrible ways to die that people have ever come up with. At this moment of his death, in all of his excruciating pain, he hears from Christ, you're with me, that you are with me, that as your life ends in this place, in this torturous way, you're with me. It's a powerful thing to understand the mercy of Jesus. How many times have we been at a place in our life that we wondered, can God really do anything with me? Look at the mess I've made. You know, maybe we weren't sentenced to death, but maybe we wondered, have I gone too far astray this time? Have I really messed up too much? Can God really fix me? Can God really have mercy on me? Can God look upon me with love and affection and adoration at this point after I've messed up so much? And Jesus demonstrates with this one conversation, absolutely. Because this guy did nothing to deserve this. This guy had not lived his life to be that good person. He had not made his case of why he deserved mercy. He was dying for his crimes, and yet Jesus showed him mercy. This is the kind of God we serve. This is the kind of God that we have in our life. This is a God of mercy. Now, I know there are lots of places of judgment as well, but sometimes we forget, because we see judgment, particularly in the Old Testament under these laws, we forget that this is a God of mercy. If all of those laws and doing all of those things and keeping all of those rules were going to fix us, Jesus would not have had to die. Sometimes we try to get back to the old ways. So there's a lot of people that kind of harken back to the old days. And yeah, Jesus died for our sins, but you better behave. You better get it right. You better do what you're told. You know, yeah, you should get it right for our own sake. Because rebelling against God always leads to a mess. Always leads to a mess. But this is about a relationship with a God of mercy that Jesus demonstrates to a man that had no case to deserve it. If we've ever felt that we were in a place in our life that maybe we didn't deserve mercy, maybe we've messed it up so much that we really can't have a relationship with God, maybe we can't really be close with God, Jesus contradicts that with this one statement. Today, you who have no case to make of why you deserve it, you're going to be with me. Jesus shows that mercy. Now, it's amazing sometimes how even Christian people who are good folks and show up to church and do good works and do all the things of Christianity will sometimes keep God at a distance. And yeah, we're doing the things of Christianity. We're being good people, and we're doing good works, and we sing songs of praise. We do all these things that are Christian things, but in our hearts, in our souls, we sort of keep God at a distance. There's a strong tradition of this, sadly, throughout Christianity. It's called deism. There's an idea that God is way up there somewhere. You know, to go to Jupiter, take a left, go to the end of the universe. God's over there somewhere. And God's there, and he's looking down on all of us from heaven, sort of watching us. And if we get it right, and it seems like every Christian movement has its own definition of what right is, but if we get it right, then God's pleased. And if we don't get it right, then God's not pleased, and there's consequences there. And it's this idea that God's just way up there somewhere, way in the distance, watching. just pushing us along to get it right. And that, yes, God can intervene at times, but does he really intervene for us? Just in our little world? I mean, yeah, for Peter and Paul and all the greats of the Bible, we know God intervened in their life, but, you know, we're not Peter and Paul. We're just little people just living normal lives. God's not going to intervene with us the way he did with them. And we have this idea of this deistic God, this idea of deism, that God's way up there, we're way down here, and God sent us instructions in the Bible, and let's just try to get it right. And if you don't get it right, well, there's going to be consequences. This is a really powerful notion that has run through Christianity for generations. In fact, in the U.S., where I come from, most of the founding fathers, while they were Christians, they were deist. And a lot of the idea of American Christianity runs on this deistic idea that God's up there and we're just here to get it right. And it's so strong that a lot of times people don't even know that it's part of their life. They just grew up with it. God's up there somewhere. God's in heaven, way up there somewhere. We don't even know exactly where, just up there. And we're down here. We just try to get it right. We're just doing the best we can. And then in those times that we mess it up, and we all mess it up, when we fall short, and we all fall short, and we may even put on a good act where other people don't know we're messing it up, we may have been able to cover it up pretty good so that people think we're really good people, but we know our own secrets, don't we? We know our own failures. We know our own struggles. And when God knows those, we think, oh, goodness, what is God looking down on when he sees me? What is God looking down on from way up there, wherever that is, to see me? This is not the God of the Bible. All this stuff from deism is not the God of Scripture. None of that I just said is actually true. People believe it, and people act like that, and people live that life, even though they don't even know they're doing that sometimes. It just seems natural. Since we can't see God right in front of us, literally, since we can't touch God literally, and we're such physical people, you know, we're such scientific people now that if we can't see it and touch it and taste it, then we're just not even sure. And that gets into Christianity as well in the modern era. So even if we believe in God, it's just way up there somewhere. This is not the God of the Bible. That God of the Bible came into covenant, came into relationship with Abraham before the law was ever given. Over 400 years before the law was given, God chose to be in relationship with Abraham, to form a covenant, a bond with him that would lead to this movement of people in Judaism that would eventually lead to Jesus coming in the Christian tradition, the Christian faith. God began that with a personal relationship 400 years, more than 400 years before the first law was ever given to Moses. The point was a relationship, not law. Then, even when the law was there as guidance, as ordering daily life, as ordering the faith and ordering the relationship with one another, that was not satisfactory to God. That was not the end game. That was not the final goal. That was a place in time that God was teaching this nomadic people how to live with each other, how to honor God. But it was not the end of the story. Jesus came in personal relationship to walk on this earth and live this life with us, giving his life for our sins, and in his resurrecting, bringing in the age of grace that we can have direct relationship with God. And in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, which is God's presence, the very Spirit of God in our midst, comes upon the church. There is no record of God ever leaving. We act like that was just a historical event that doesn't apply to us sometimes. The Holy Spirit was not only with them, the Holy Spirit's with us even now in this moment. All of this comes about because of God's intention to be in relationship with us. And that's why Jesus can say to a man who did nothing to deserve it, who messed up his life so badly that he's dying for his sins, for his crimes, in a torturous way, in the last moments of his life, when he has no opportunity to make amends, he has no opportunity to get it right, he has no more second chances. His opportunities to get it right are over. And he says, "Can you have mercy on me? Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." This is not about always getting it right. This is about relationship. This is about connection to the Spirit. This is about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as we see in the book of Acts, where the people were filled with the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit is with us now. That same God who brought Jesus into the world, the very incarnation of God Himself is what that's called, the incarnation. This is God in human form giving His life for us. Because if we could have gotten it right, you think Jesus would let Himself be tortured to death? If the law was sufficient, if all of the legalities was sufficient for salvation, do you think Jesus would have been tortured to death? That was never the goal. Yeah, there's guidance, there's direction, there's ways we need to behave, there's ways we need to treat God and treat each other. All those things are important. I'm not saying that we need to ignore those. I'm saying it's not the goal. The goal is a connection with God. And if we have that, a lot of this other stuff comes natural. For those of you who drive in Prague, we'll pray for you. I would not want to drive in Prague. But there are rules of the road, right? You know, there's lights that say stop, and there's lights that say go, and there's rules that we must follow. Now, why is that? Well, it's to direct us, to order ourselves. Now, let's imagine for a moment that everyone was always completely conscientious. They paid attention to what they were doing all the time. If they were 100% courteous all the time, everyone, 100% courteous all the time, they always paid attention to everything going on around them perfectly. They were always courteous of the other drivers. Everyone paid attention to what was happening. When they came to an intersection, everyone was courteous of one another and went with caution. Then we wouldn't need any of those rules, would we? There's stop signs. We have those to tell people, you need to stop here. But those are there for logical reasons. And if we were reasonable all the time, we were conscientious, paid attention all the time, we were courteous all the time, we wouldn't even need those. Right? We need them because we're not perfect. We don't always pay attention. Sometimes we're not very courteous. Sometimes we're in a hurry. We're in a rush. Some of those rules are just kind of in our way, and we break those because we're in a hurry. And so we have to have laws to guide us, and there's consequences to keep us in line because sometimes we make mistakes. That's what laws are for. That's what the laws of the land are for. That's what God's laws are for, to direct our life, to make sure, because we're not perfect, because we're not always, we don't always get it right, we have direction, we have guidance. This is out of God's love for us, to help us make the right decisions, to live the right way with God and each other. But it's not the goal. It's important, but it's not the goal. If you followed every traffic law, you did everything perfectly all the time, how much of a relationship do you have with the other drivers? None, other than to be courteous to each other. You have no relationship with them. The law helps us get along with each other. The law helps us live the right kind of life, and it does not build relationship with one another or with God. And that's the ultimate goal. This guy broke every law enough to get himself crucified, and yet Jesus said, "You're with me." Jesus showed him mercy, because it's not about whether we always get it right. It's about the mercy of God God's grace in our life. This is really good news for those of us that have messed up sometimes. For those of us that have wondered, could God really love me? Can God really make something of me? Can God really connect with me? Can I really connect with God? Yes. That's the goal. That was the goal when God came to Abraham to form the covenant, that bond. That was the goal when Jesus came into this world to work with us and be around us and live the human life. When Jesus died on the cross and is resurrected from the grave, it was all about us being connected with the Spirit of God that is recorded of coming upon the church, the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2. Jesus said to the cross, to the man on the cross next to him, "You're going to be with me in paradise." Even though you didn't do anything to really deserve it, even though you messed up your whole life and have no chance to make it up, you're with me. Jesus says to us, when we mess up, "You're with me." When we've made a mess of our life, he says, "You're with me." If we say, "God, can you have mercy on me?" Yes, God can. We say, "God, are you up there somewhere?" God is with us here in this very place right now, because God is about connecting in relationship. And you know, the irony of the whole thing, if we're really connected with the Spirit, if we're really connected with God, we're going to follow his laws. We're going to follow his direction. Not because of consequences, but because we trust him. We know he has our best interest at heart. And that's why we pray to God. This is not about just going through religious motions. This is not about just being a good person. It's about being connected to God and letting God create in us that ability to be that person he's created us to be. To not just go through rituals and laws, but to know that even in our flawed state, even in our struggles of life, that God says, "You're with me." When we're with Jesus, he leads us in the right way. And yeah, we keep the rules, but not because we have to, but because we are following him. When we pray in that way, when we pray in that spirit, and we say, "God, can you have mercy on me?" and we experience that mercy, it's a powerful, powerful thing in our life. So we pray to him. We lift up our prayers to him, knowing that he is here in our midst. Now, we can't see, we can't touch, but we can experience in our soul.